Okay, today I'm going to start a series on revival. I know when we hear that word, it probably conjures up all kinds of thoughts and experiences. But today, you know, I'm going to be talking from 2 Kings. And what happened here is King Josiah pushed for the temple to be repaired. You see, the previous kings, King Manasseh and Amon, they were wicked, and they really allowed the temple to go into disrepair and use it for various different reasons. So the temple had been abused. So King Josiah comes and goes, you know what, we're going to use the money that is set aside to rebuild the temple, and we're going to do this. So in the midst of this, when they go to rebuild the temple and get things going, they find the book of the law, which is probably Deuteronomy. And we'll take it from there. So Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the court secretary, I have found the book of the law in the Lord's temple. Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan and he read it. Shaphan went to the king and reported, your officials have turned over the money collected at the temple of the Lord to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Shaphan also told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. So Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard what was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Eliakim, son of Shaphan, Akbar, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the court secretary, and Isaiah, the king's personal advisor. Go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that has been found. For the Lord's great anger is burning against us because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in the scroll. We have not been doing everything it says we must do. Lord, help us here today. Jesus, very often you said, he who has ears to hear and eyes to see. Help us to be vessels that receive your truth. Help us to lay aside our filters, our opinions, and our beliefs, and allow your truth to penetrate our hearts, Lord God. Father, I pray for those that maybe they don't have the zeal for you that once was present. Oh, today's the day you want to touch them, Lord. See, we're going to talk about revival, Lord. We're going to talk about you restoring your hope as we turn our hearts to you, Lord. In your name, amen. In the late 70s, there was a jazz musician, Chuck Mangione, and he had a song, Feels So Good. I'm going to tell you, you wake up in the morning, the sun is out, it feels so good. You know, we went away last weekend, and we came back to a miracle. I had grass in my lawn. The snow was gone. Long live the grass. You know, I realize that seasonal affective disorder is a real thing. I experience it at times myself. It's a thing where we get depressed because of the long winters, the lack of sunlight, you know, and January and February can really take a beating upon our emotions. But, oh, spring comes. See, when I lived in Copenhagen, spring became my favorite time of the year. I love summer. I love the fall, but I knew in spring we were farthest away from the snow than we ever would be. And if you live in a place and get up to 300 inches of snow, it gets old real quick. You see, I think as Christians, we all can find ourselves in a sort of spiritual seasonal disorder. You know, we kind of get in a funk. You know, we just don't feel like we're doing well spiritually. 2 Kings 22 tells us how God moved among the Israelites as they turned to him. Today I'm going to talk about revive us, O Lord. And the first point I want to make is, you know, we talk about revival. Revival starts with the Bible. Revival starts with the Word of God. Like I said earlier, when we talk about revival, you might think of 10 meetings, you might think of actions, you might think of a lot of different things. But what we're talking about today, the Bible has to start our experience of revival. The Evangelical Dictionary of World Missions says, the work of the Holy Spirit in restoring the people of God to a more vital spiritual life, witness and work by prayer and the word after repentance and crisis for their spiritual decline. So what it's saying is, you know what, once we turn to God and we allow the word to touch us and we allow the word to penetrate, then we see God take control. We realize, you know what, I'm not doing good, healthy. We saw this with King Josiah. He saw his life and he saw Israel's life and he said, man, we're not living according to the Bible. We're not living according to God's law. So we want to get to a place where we have spiritual renewal, where we have a new commitment and reliance on the Bible. The thing I loved about Josiah, he showed genuine remorse when he realized, I am not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. We have forgotten the Word of God. You see, we have to look at God's Word, and too often, you know, we see a rise in the progressive church today because what the progressive church does is, you know, this is a book written by 40 men. It's okay if you don't really pay attention to it. But that's not what God says. God says we have to commit our lives to you. Jesus says, I didn't abolish the law. I fulfilled the law. But what we see in the actions of Josiah, you know, he tore his clothes because he was ashamed. He was ashamed of how he had been living. He was ashamed of how his nation was living. His tearing of his clothes represented his torn and broken heart for God. Repentance means we move away from that way and we live for God. Repentance always means we have to take some sort of action. Revival in the life of a believer begins when we honestly confess our lack and our need for God. You know, I understand that many of us struggle with spending time in the Bible. On my iPhone, every Sunday morning, I have a report. You have spent this many hours on your phone this week, every day. Now, this week, it was real high because I used it as a GPS going down to my daughter's house in Maryland. But wouldn't it be cool if God gave us a report every week? Hey, you have spent this many seconds in the Bible every week. Or you have spent this many hours every day in the Bible. You see, we have to know the Bible is life-giving. And as we commit our life to it, man, we change. Hang on 1 second. For the Word of God is living and active. What does that mean? It's alive. I need to look at the Bible and I need to look at my life. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, joints and of marrow, discerning the thought marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Lord, help us. I want to be like Josiah, who looked at God's word and it penetrated his very soul. It pierced him and he saw where he didn't add up and he had no peace. And when we're not living according to God's word, we're not going to have peace. You may want it, but the fact is, if I don't have a vital relationship with the Bible, then my relationship with God is going to be weak. And you may sit there and say, I'm good with God. I don't read that much, but your life isn't good with God. Because we're supposed to spend time in his word. So Hilkiah the priest, Eliakim, Akbar, Shaphan, and Azariah went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Huldah. She was the wife of Shalem, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, the keeper of the temple wardrobe. What I'm talking about is right responses. They knew they were doing wrong, so what they did is they go to this prophetess and say, hey, what's going on? And God honors Josiah's response, and he says, you know what? There is a covenantal curse. There is a lack that Israel has done in obeying the word. So punishment is coming, because one thing we have to realize is, yes, in the New Testament, our sins are forgiven, but there's consequences. We see it with David and Bathsheba. David sinned with Bathsheba, has her husband killed, and they have a baby, and that son dies. Why? Consequence of sin. And this is the man, the Bible says, is a man after God's own heart. It's kind of like years ago, I probably shared this before, but we had a young girl in our home group. She said, hey, I went on a plane trip to visit some friends. I met this guy in a plane. We spent the weekend together. Gee, I might be pregnant. God's going to punish me. I said, whoa. You take a Magnum 57, you put a bullet in it, you point it at your foot, you squeeze the trigger. It ain't God. God, it's you. If you're going down the road, like when I went to Maryland last week, if I'm going 90 miles an hour and I get stopped, hey, you know what? God might forgive me for breaking the law, but I'm still going to pay a fine. So there are consequences to our actions. We need to have a right response. We need to look at the Bible and we need to use it as a mirror. How am I going to live? I want to live this way, God, but sexually I want to define my life. I want to live this way, God, but financially let me define. No, then he ain't your Lord. He might be your Savior, but he's not your Lord. When Jesus is my Lord, I live my life according to what he says. I didn't go to church growing up. When I became a Christian and we grew and I learned about this thing called tithing, I thought that was whack. I mean, are you kidding me? We don't make that much money to begin with. And I'm supposed to do what? But what we did is we sat down, we prayed, said, you know what? As soon as we get paid, first thing we do is write the tithe check out of sight, out of mind. I thought over the years how many new cars I could have bought. I could have had a Lexus RX360 a dozen times over. But I couldn't look at it that way. I had to say, God, this is what your word says. I need to live this way. You know, we're getting closer to Easter. It's about a month or so away. It's the greatest event in the history of man. God sent his son to die on the cross so that I could have opportunity. Now, it's not a free road ride for everybody, but if you say, God, I'm a sinner, Christ come into my life and forgive me, boom, then all of a sudden, I got eternity. And what I learned is when I ask God to forgive me and the ministry of John the Baptist was repentance. Are you going to live Dick's way or are you going to live the way of Jesus? Well, I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to live your way. Forgive me for the places where I live my way, God. So repentance ushers in revival, which is an awakening. It's a reinvigorating of our faith. So in 13, you know, he had said, go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that had been found. Josiah understood sin brings the wrath of God. And whenever I'm going through a hard time in my life, one of the first things I do is I pray, God, what are you teaching me in this? But I also hit my knees and I say, God, is there any place where I'm saying no to you? And I really would like to stand up here and say, God's answer is always, of course not. But that's not true. There's a lot of times God is saying, yeah, I did. I told you to do this and you didn't. Are you going to be, all of a sudden I went brain dead, Joshua and Caleb, and say, let's go into the promised land. Or are you going to be the 10 spies that see the obstacles in the enemy and say, let's not go in? You see, faith is never easy. Faith demands that I face my giants. So they go to this prophetess, and she goes, yep, there's an unavoidable consequence coming due to the covenantal curse. The punishment of a righteous God is going to bring. You see, they broke the law. And God goes, you got to pay the price. But because of Josiah's repentance, he said, you know what? It's going to be after you die. It's going to be after your lifetime. So the Lord rewards Josiah's sincere repentance with a promise not to carry out that punishment till later. Mark Shaw, in the book Globe Awakening, writes, revival can and does flourish with the simple reading and preaching of the scripture as people are transformed by its witness. We need to allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts. We need to believe what it says. And when it makes us uncomfortable, we need to pray, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We need to move forward. I want to see everybody excited for the Lord. I want to see the Holy Spirit moving powerfully. Revival begins with us returning to God's word. Revival begins as we cling to it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unfortunately, in America, Bible reading plummeted during the COVID-19 pandemic. A 2022 survey by the American Bible Society sought to determine how active people were in the Bible. How much of them were Bible users? Oh, do you know what their definition is? That you actively get in the Bible 3 to 4 times a year. They found Americans dropped from 50% to 39%. 39% of believers got into the Bible 3 to 4 times 1 year, 365 days. How active are you in the Bible? I know I am not coming at this legalistically, but I'm coming at this realistically. I have said before, every day you don't read the Bible, don't eat food. Or if you're going to eat, eat Cheetos, eat Twinkies. If you're going to feed your soul garbage, eat garbage. Don't eat vegetables, don't eat meat, don't eat protein, unless it's the day that you read the Bible. I know that sounds ludicrous. I understand that 100%. You will not and you cannot be spiritually healthy without an active Bible reading session in your life. It's a lamp unto our feet. My life, my soul gained eternity with Jesus Christ. Because on August 14th, 1979, Paddy Doc Stater sat me down, opened the Bible to John 3:3, where he tells Nicodemus, you do not get heaven without being born again. I didn't go to church growing up. We were not a Bible-believing family. But something in me knew that was the truth of God. God's word made sure that Dick Beaumont would spend eternity in heaven. I was before service prayer, we're talking about it. When we've been there 10,000 years, is that astounding? 1 million years from now, I'm going to be in heaven. I can't even fathom that. But it's because of the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It totally changed King Josiah's life. And I know We all have excuses, like backsides, we all have. I ordered 20 books. I got one years ago when I went to a pastor's meeting with Franklin Graham. It's broken up into 31 days. You have Psalms and you have one proverb. So I've ordered 20 books. They didn't come yet. I might order more. And I'm going to offer them free of anybody here. But don't just take it because it's free. We're not Costco. We're not, oh, I really don't like hummus, but let me try it because it's free. Now, sometimes you hit the big time and they give out chocolate. I don't want to pay the church's money for these books, so you put them on your shelf. I want you to make the commitment that, you know what, God, I can give you 5 to 10 minutes of my life and read it every day. I have an app on my phone. I heard about it on Focus on the Family. It's called Pause, P-A-U-S-E. And the guy's whole thing is, I know we're busy, let's learn to spend quiet time with God. So I open my app. Yep, I go to the men's part. I can do a 1 minute pause or 1 minute pause. So you just sit there quietly and he talks to you and he reads scriptures to you. And then at the end, he goes, that's good. Then you can do 5 minutes. I also have an app called Centering Prayer where I open that up. It's scripture. Then I have, for right now, because I'm impatient, it's a quiet time with God. It's, you know, 7 minutes long. It has this opening sound. Then I just sit there as good as I say, Lord, just you and me here. At the end, it gongs. I have another scripture I'm done. So what am I trying to say? I have things in play in my life that when life gets busy, you know what? I can still spend some time with God. Some people pray, and they think they got to pray forever for God to hear them. Will you please read the Lord's Prayer? It didn't take Jesus 20 minutes to do that. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to pray long, but what I'm saying is don't accept not reading the Bible and not praying. You can tell me you're too busy. I can tell you I don't care. You want God to be too busy for you? Of course not. Our spiritual health is at stake. I love seeing how the Holy Spirit moves in people. I love seeing revival, but we have to be open to God's word. You see, God, the Bible tells me, it tells us God's will, and it guides us, so we need to take the time to read it. You know, I know how when I talk about a message like this, it can be received. Man, you can be really encouraged and want to move forward. Then please do something about it. Because if you're not active, by the time you get home this afternoon, it's not going to be that important. Or maybe the devil's whispering in your ear and you just feel, I'm lower than low. I haven't read and I haven't prayed and God hates me. That's the devil lying to you. Tell him to shut up, fool, and get out of the way. Or we can be indifferent and be unmoved. But we need to humbly, like King Josiah, receive knowing how much we need God. I love the story of the prodigal son. Hey, Dad, you're still alive, but can I have my inheritance? How disrespectful. But Dad gives it to him. So he takes off. And he's living the big life. Newest Xbox. All the wine, women, and song you could desire. But then he's broke. He's feeding slop to pigs, and he's so hungry, that looks good. So he comes home. Now this is where it represents us. The times when we're cold, the times when we haven't prioritized God and we think he's the big mean taskmaster like the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain who's all mean. And the devil whispers to us, say, you're such a failure. God doesn't care. God doesn't care. So he goes, you know what? Even if I'm a servant to my dad, at least I'll eat. I love Luke 15:20. And when he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Maybe you feel far away from the Lord. He's waiting with his arms wide open. Maybe you need revival in your heart. And can I say something about revival? It doesn't mean you're going to skip all around town when you leave here today. That's not what I'm talking about. The joy of the Lord is my strength, because come hell or high water, he's my king, and I know where I'm going, and I have his peace. It doesn't mean that we're going to be in a spiritual, an emotional euphoria forever. It's not what happens. We go through spiritual winters. We go through spiritual dryness, but we have to take the steps where we are right with the Lord. You see, revival is having the Holy Spirit restore us, refresh us, encourage us in Christ. Favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9. I know some of you are saying, here we go again. Yes, we are. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. It's not on the screen. My grace, Jesus says to you individually, is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul writes, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you have been spiritually dry, please do not leave here today without saying, God, help me. Next week, I'm going to have those books. Like I said, if you need a pick-me-up and you want to move forward, then grab them. We're here to provide God's word to you. King Josiah was restored when he allowed God's word to bring him to a place of repentance. Get into the word. In my private time with God, I read the New Living Translation because it's an easy translation. I love it. Spend time in God's word. Make a commitment to read the Bible and repent where needed. You know, I'm repenting all the time to God. Sometimes when I'm driving, sometimes when I'm just getting upset, sometimes over the stupidest things. But I want to make sure I'm right with God. I say, just like the psalmist, Lord, search me. Try my ways and show me. The Bible needs to change us. Don't listen to the lie that your sins, our sins, make God angry and he doesn't love us. He's not pleased with our sins. Don't hear me wrong. But when I repent, he welcomes me back in. I'm hanging on to my little guy there during worship, man. That's God when I repent. He's just hanging on. Man, I love you, Beaumont. You knucklehead, be my knucklehead. And God knows I'm an idiot because he created me. He knows Beaumont ain't going to be perfect till he dies. But he's okay with that. The prodigal father was overjoyed with the return of his son. His word to some of you that had prodigals, God says it ain't over yet. Keep the hope. Please do not accept being indifferent to Jesus. Allow God's grace to strengthen you to live the life God's created for you to live. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, I believe there's some doubt in this room right now. That might work for somebody else, but not for you. Well, you know what? That's pride. I never think that. Because I have learned I'm not bigger than God. God's arms are wide open. He wants you to embrace the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. King Josiah heard God's word. And he saw how he was living and how Judah was living. and he was heartbroken. He tore his clothes because his heart was so broken. He wanted to show people how much God's word meant to him. Let us be the same way, Lord. Let us stop accepting not being students of your word. Not in a legalistic manner, but in a life-giving manner, Lord God. When we turn back to the Bible, when we trust you, we get strength. We get a peace that can only come from your hand, God. We experience an inner peace in times when we shouldn't. It doesn't mean that we're going to be happy and carefree. There's going to be times we still are distraught. But we're going to know in our knower that you are in control. Just as Joshua and Caleb knew they could enter the promised land because regardless of the enemy, you were bigger. Today is a day of hope, Lord. Today is a day to see that God, your arms are wide open. Just as the lost son returned to the Father and the Father celebrated, that your heart towards us, you just anticipate us, Lord. You love us, Father. So let us today, O Lord, say yes to you. See, I believe we are the church. So if you're really struggling, you know, I'd be glad to pray for you after the service. Or maybe the person next to you. You don't have to say a lot. Just say, hey, would you say a quick, I said that word on purpose, a quick prayer for me. Let us leave here today with our vision set on you, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings all.